Speak, O Lord, your servants heareth. Amen. Our lessons today are somewhat peculiar, at least the first lesson is somewhat peculiar, because even though it has a lot of the words and language that we're familiar with, particularly words like covenant, God, Noah, this story of God making a covenant is completely unique in the entire Bible. Now, covenant appears all over the place, right? Can you think of any covenants God made with
Abraham
and Sarah? Does anybody remember what that covenant, what came out of that? What? No? Okay. The covenant to Abraham, in other words, promise, the agreement, the commitment that God made to Abraham and Sarah, that their offspring would be like the sands of the sea. There would be so many that you couldn't even count them. That was a covenant that God made with Abraham and Sarah. And if you go through the rest of the Old Testament, you'll find many places where God is making a covenant with an important figure, like David, for example, especially David. And these commitments, these covenants, are acts of God that bind God to the one that he's making the covenant with. So when God makes a covenant with David, God is binding himself. God is binding the very being of God to David and all of the future kings of Israel. So that when God makes a promise, it's a promise that has an effect in the relationship. So that regardless of what comes in that person's life, once God has made a covenant with them, the terms of that covenant will stand. And when God makes a covenant with us through Jesus Christ, God is promising, in the words of the covenant, promising that God will be with us. Now, what's different about this covenant with Noah, sometimes called the Noachian covenant, what's different about this covenant from all other covenants is that all other covenants, agreements, or promises are made by God with a particular person and that person's offspring, perhaps, and the people of the nation, so that the promise is given to Israel. That's standard throughout the Old Testament. God comes and he makes a covenant with Israel. Now, what's unique about this is that God is not making a covenant with Israel. One of the difficulties that Christians and Jews too must live with is the way in which when God makes a covenant with God's people, that it's easy to take that as a sign that you are specially favored above all other people. And in fact, I know of people right now who live in Israel who pray that God will send another flood or some terrible disease or something that would completely annihilate the people who live in the land, the Palestinians. That they pray, get this, they pray that God would annihilate the Palestinians out of the land just as God annihilated the people in the flood. And so this is a very uncomfortable thing for us to have to deal with, that God makes a covenant with one group of people, and the rest of all the peoples of the world, it doesn't matter what happens to them. God doesn't care. This covenant, though, and this is the first covenant in the Bible, so all other covenants have to refer back to this one. This covenant says something very differently. What does it say? God said to Noah and his sons with him, "As for me, I am establishing my covenant with you and your descendants after you," just like all the other covenants. All the other covenants say the same thing. I'm making covenant with you and your descendants who come after you. Noah's covenant says the same. "But also with every living creature that is with you, the birds, the domestic animals, and every animal of the earth with you, as many as came out of the ark. I establish my covenant with you that never again shall all flesh be cut off by the waters of a flood, and never again shall there be a flood to destroy the earth."
God said, this is the sign of the covenant that I make between you and every living creature that is with you for all future generations. And then he talks about, I'm going to hang my bow in the sky. Now, these are ancient. This is a very ancient story. Very, very ancient story. And when God hangs his bow in the sky, what is that? Rainbow. And is it really a rainbow? What is it in God's mind? What is it in the Israelites' mind?
Promise.
It's definitely a promise, but what is a bow? Well, it's what we wrap presents up and put on girls' heads. But that's not the bow we're talking about here. What's the other kind of bow?
Weapon.
A weapon. God says, I am going to take my weapon that I just used to kill all these people in the flood, and I'm going to take it, I'm going to hang it up. You know, it's like the gunslinger. You know, he finally says, I'm going to hang up my belt. I'm no longer going into battle. So God is hanging a bow, his weapon, and he hangs it in the sky so that everybody can see it. And the way that the text has it, come in. The way the text has it, it says, God says, I'm doing this so I will remember that I made a promise never to do this again. Now, that's a kind of a tricky thing. It's really God saying, I'm hanging this up in the sky so you remember. So every time you see that rainbow, what you're seeing is you are seeing a commitment by God, a covenant by God that's made for whom? For the people of Israel? Well, of course. But more than that, it is a covenant made with all living creatures. This is an extraordinary statement here in the Bible. All living creatures are being brought into the covenant with God. Now, covenant, another word we use, is promise. It's God's way of saying, I promise you. And when you're making a covenant, if I'm making a covenant with you, and I say, I promise you, what do? You say, and I promise you. There are always two sides. There may be a dominant figure like God and a less dominant figure like Noah, or you or me, but there's always an action where God is called to act in promise. I make a promise with you. But it's not just with the people of Israel. It's with all people, with all flesh, everywhere. There's no limitation. God says, when I hang up my bow, I will not use it. I will not go to war against people ever again. Now, what's the human side of this? We are also in that covenant. Covenants and promises shape us. They make us who we are. Both the promises we make ourselves and the promises made on our behalf. I was thinking this week very often of my grandparents. They made a promise. When they came to the United States, they made a promise that they would defend the Constitution of the United States. Now, that was a promise they made for themselves, but you know what? How promises are with God's promises, God's covenants? That promise sticks and it shapes not just their lifetime, but it shaped mine. Because if it weren't for them deciding to make a promise, to make a covenant with the United States of America, I would not be here. I'd be having sausage and beer in Germany. So it does make you open your mind to other possibilities. God's making a promise with us involves our making a promise with God. So what is our promise? What is our promise? Our promise is that we will do the things that this covenant says we will do. And what is that? It's to care for the earth. It's to treat every single person on the earth as your neighbor, as your family member. That they are part of you and you have a moral, theological, religious obligation by God to participate with God in caring for the earth. Now, it's easy in the light of terrible things to say, where was God? Where was God when all this happened? Here's the back story. God doesn't do it all for us. God calls us into being. God calls us by his promise into the world. And when God calls us into the world, we are called into responsibility for the world. It's not just something we can have at our leisure. It is something that makes a difference for everybody who comes after us. In very specific terms, I would ask a couple things. What promise are we carrying out when we look at what is happening to our climate? What is happening to our climate cannot be denied. I mean, there is no scientist, no important recognized scientist anywhere in the world that denies that global climate change isn't happening. And most of us don't know what to do. We sit back and it's happening all around us, and we feel like we're helpless. And yet this promise that God made with us calls us into reality, calls us in to say, I am responsible for this. It's part of my being in the covenant with God that I am responsible for for taking care of the earth, caring for it, and loving it. Another way in which the promise shapes us is how we take care of those who are living with deep misfortune. They have fled their homes. They have lost so many family members to bombs, to warfare. And in our own hemisphere, hundreds of thousands of people, up to almost 2 million, in fact, have fled over the past 30, 40 years. Why? If you listen to the news, like I do every day, this is what is said, that parents who illegally brought their children into this country have a chance to, with the DACA, with this special program that had been set up to protect innocent children whose parents brought them into the country. Because why did they bring them into the country? Because they were their children. They were 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 10 years old. But they came to this country not because they wanted to go to Hollywood. They came to this country not because they were going to become rich. They came to this country to save their lives. They came to this country, and we're talking hundreds of thousands, have come to this country because their lives were at stake. They were in danger. They were going to die. Family members had already been killed. They were warned, and there was no time to go get a passport. And you flee, and you take the people you love with you, and you do everything you can to get into safety. But on the news, they say, these parents who illegally brought their children to this country. Let's be very clear on something. That's wrong. And it's not a matter of interpretation, it's the law. The law is very plain. First of all, it's a misdemeanor in United States law to cross over into the United States without having documentation. It's a misdemeanor. It's not some, well, I hear people talking on the radio and the television as if they've committed murder because they've crossed in without having proper papers. They don't have papers at all. The law says it's a misdemeanor. So what are they supposed to do? Supposed to pick them up and send them back. Or if there is a well-founded claim of persecution, threat, or danger upon their lives, they are to be admitted by law. It's not a matter of interpretation. They are to be admitted to the United States until their case can be adjudicated. If they can prove that, in fact, their lives are in danger, their children's lives, their parents' lives, their grandparents' lives are in danger, then they must be allowed to remain. That's the law. The first statement of it was in the Constitution, and along through the years, particularly in the 20th century, up through Ronald Reagan, that commitment, that law has been revivified time after time after time. The promises made that we make and that are made on our behalf shape us. They make us who we are. When God calls us into a covenant, when God calls us into a promise-making arrangement, we don't have to accept. We don't have to do it. We are completely free. We can say, uh-uh, God, not interested. And lots of people do. They say, not interested, God. And so terrible things happen. And then people say, where was God? God was right in the midst of the terrible things, calling people to be faithful, to say, this is a tragedy, you must deal with it. God calls us into service. God calls us to recognize the covenant that he makes with us. And finally, one of the promises that we make, whether we have children or not, we make a promise to the next generation. The promise we make to the next generation is that we will care for you, children. We will care for you. That when you go to school, you don't have to be worried that you're going to be shot. We will care for you. We love you. And we will do everything we can to make sure that you are safe. That's part of the covenant that God has made with us. And our response is to say, I promise that I will keep these children safe. That is our job. It's not God's job. It's God's job to call us into action. Now, I'm not a politician. And it's not my place to be making political rules for how things ought to be. But it is my job that I take very seriously to call attention to moral damage that is done to our people, our country, and the world when we are too blind to pay it any heed. It is my job to say there is a crisis that only we can address. Now, we have 10 amendments. We have 20 amendments. First 10 amendments are very important. They are sort of the beating heart of Americans. And one of those is the right to keep and bear arms. So that's in the Constitution. And we can argue over whether how it's interpreted, but there has been a recent interpretation by the Supreme Court that says that refers not just to militias, but it refers to individuals, so that each individual is eligible to have a firearm. You know, I teach ethics. And one of the most important words we hear in ethics is the word rights. Right. We have a right, a human right, to life. We have a right to life. Each person in this room has a right to life. No one has the right to take that right away from them, take that life away from them. Our children have a right to be safe. They have a right to go to school and be safe. And it's up to us to make sure that that right of these children is guaranteed. When God makes a covenant, it shapes who we are. And interestingly, it shapes God too. Because when God makes a covenant with us, he binds himself to us. God binds himself to us, and we are bound together with God to carry out God's mission in the world. May it be so for each of us. Amen.